Hello, nerds. This is Jesse from Rock Sugar, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Keep it right here.
No problem. Our mom was always really good with knots. There was this one time when Candace...
Hey, I thought we weren't going to bring up the clothesline incident ever again.
Hello, and welcome to episode 90 of Palka, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I am, of course, TFG on Mike. Joining me, as always, Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Man, it's hot. Whew.
Today I sure am.
No. That's not what I said. I said it is, not you are. It is the 90th day of summer, and this means it is the day that we get back to Phineas and Ferb for 2021. We are on the roller coaster that is the podcast organization without a cool acronym. We have 2 weeks left of recording, anyway. Who knows when the hell? Like, as of this record, as of episode 90, I just released 85 and 86. So we just started season 4 with airing on the website. And I'm in the process of editing episode 87 right now. So there's that.
Realistically, about 2 more months to go.
Probably. You know, you got to drag it out. After all, summer is pretty long. 104 days, man.
It seems like it's been going on for 5 years already.
It kind of has been, you know. First up tonight, we have Not My Problem.
Ugh, daylight, haha!
Now what?
Now we burrow back in and untie ourselves.
You gotta be kidding me. Who looked at this idea and said, yeah, that'll be fun? You see, this is what happens when we have no intro.
I have been making mental notes of the paths and probabilities as I have gone along. It will be a piece of cake.
Candace thinks her day will be easy when the boys actually ask her to get mom if they get stuck in their gigantic reproduction of the Gordian knot. But when Jeremy stops by and asks for her help to open his personal mini safe, she finds her day getting a little more complicated. Meanwhile, Doofenshmirtz plans to eliminate every all-you-can-eat buffet in the tri-state area with his eat-it-all-inator.
Eat-it-all-inator. All-you-can-eat. Remember that?
Yeah, he'd make more money collecting rent from his tenants.
Actually, they bring it up. If you just sold that, everybody would buy one, and you'd make $1 million.
Like, I'm going to take advice from some guy in a restaurant.
In a diner.
Whatever.
That's funny. I know, yeah. Buddy.
How can you eat like that and stay so thin?
Oh, I built an all-you-can-eat-inator, and it speeds up your metabolism so you don't gain any weight no matter how much you eat, ever.
You should mass-produce that machine. Everyone would buy one. You'd be a millionaire.
Don't worry about me making money, mister. I've got a complicated plan. I'm going to take advice from some guy in a diner.
We've been saying the same thing for weeks. It's, you know, that's not that evil. And in fact, if he mass produced it, he'd be a billionaire.
Yeah, exactly.
You could change mankind this way.
Because he even says that, you know, the reason why the all-you-can-eat-inator actually works is because it speeds up your metabolism and keeps up with your eating, so you never actually... God, I need all-you-can-eat-inator that does the other side effects so I can actually become the, you know, skinny 7-year-old I was 40 years ago.
I could use one as well.
Exactly. Oh, man. This one was fun. I'm not a fan of licorice at all, though.
Oh, you're giving away the ending. So, it becomes pretty obvious when you see that it's like red ropes and black ropes.
Oh, and I mean, I knew as soon as, like, it was, I didn't even have to wait for the ending.
And you knew it was all licorice?
Yeah.
Can you imagine crawling around in wet licorice? It would be disgusting.
Yeah, it would be. Very much so.
Yeah. Sadly.
Ew. That's... Yeah, no.
That would be worse than the clothesline incident.
Yeah, pretty much.
We never speak of.
No, we don't. Oh, man. It's just one of those things where it's like, I love the whole not, like the not talk. No, it's not spelled with a K. But I thought not wasn't spelled with a K. Like, it's very on the nose.
It's very who's on first.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was thinking. This episode had a few terrifying things in it.
Mm-hmm.
The first terrifying thing, Jeremy's baby teeth.
Yeah, that's not cute. That's terrifying. Oh, my
God. It's terrifying. I threw up a little bit. I was like, ruh, ruh. It was awful. And the second terrifying thing is the colostophobia patch.
Yeah, that's no. It's we like, don't.
Are you afraid of colostomy bags? I'm confused. What's a colostophobia?
I think she meant claustrophobia, but yeah.
Oh, Oh, okay. So fear of enclosed spaces.
Yes, yes.
Not bags of poop hanging from your belt. Okay.
Oh, okay. You went way too far with that one.
You know what a colostomy bag is, right?
Yes.
She totally said colostophobia.
Oh, Lord. I think she was going for claustrophobia.
I beg to differ. Can you imagine that, though? I mean, honestly, I'm a little afraid of bags of poop hanging off my belt, but, you know, I'm still a little young. I don't have to worry about that yet.
Yeah.
And another terrifying thing. I'm on a roll. Gopher guts au gratin.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Gopher guts au gratin. He just named a bunch of stuff that didn't sound appetizing. Like the mystery lump.
Yeah.
Not appetizing.
Well, that's the evil part of his plan, that basically the food is so disgusting, no one will even take a bite of it, but they've already paid him. So well, that's how, you know, I mean...
The horrible thing is he shot them with the all-you-can-eat-inator, mm-hmm. and they're going through mounds of mystery lumps. I mean, that's horrible. that's evil. I take it back. He's evil.
Yeah, he kind of is.
Eat the mystery lumps! Arr, 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 arr. No. No, nom, nom, nom. Stop it.
Yeah, no. That's not good. And this episode is pretty, I don't know, it just feels like the idea for the all-you-can-eat-inator is great if he would have listened to the guy in the diner.
Like, he's not gonna.
I know he's not gonna, because Doofenshmirtz is doofus. It's doofus schmertz.
It's food spelled backwards.
I know. I'm like, really?
That's funny.
Yeah.
It's about time they had him open a restaurant.
I mean, the boys did it back in season one, so.
Right. No, wait. What was the one where they were on the road and it was like on a trip?
That's season three. That's the road stop diner. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, back in season one, they had Shea Platypus.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's funny.
Because Shea Platypus was the platypus themed restaurant that didn't just serve an entree that was the size of a pea, because they went to some fancy restaurant.
All right.
And, yeah, so they serve chicken, they serve hot dogs, they serve pizza, they served everything at Shea Platypus.
Fancy schmancy.
Yep.
Ha 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 ha, maniacal laughter.
Yeah, you don't have to say maniacal laughter.
It's funny when he did.
Just do it.
Maniacal laughter.
You know
it's
what?
Like when you spell it out, you're like, L-L-L-Lameo. That's what it means.
LaMeo. What is is it the Muppets? Yeah. It was funnier when the Muppets did it. So in the 2011 movie.
Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh.
That's a maniacal laugh moment.
Did what?
The Muppets, the 2011 movie.
I know.
When they did the maniacal laugh, where it's Nedley, it's the one of the scarier Muppets next to Chris, what's his name? Oh God, I should know this. Oh, he was in Great Expectations.
It's been a long time since I've seen.
Yeah, but anyway, but it's basically that guy saying maniacal laugh, and then they laugh, and it was funnier there than it was here.
You're going to look it up, aren't you?
Of course I am. That's what I always do. How do you know? Why do you call attention to these things?
Why are you talking? You know I'm doing it. What was the You know, I'm trying to remember now. It was Tim Curry was the bad guy in one of the Muppet movies, and he was awesome. And he actually had a maniacal laugh that was perfect.
Yeah,
love Tim Curry's laugh.
Chris Cooper.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I kept wanting to say Christopher Columbus, but I'm like, no, that's the director.
I want to say Chris Pine.
No, I don't want to say it. He and Pratt can go prattle off for all I care.
Too many Chris's.
I'm sick of Captain Kirk at this point.
So it's like Chris Evans or Chris Hemsworth, you know, which is a superior Chris?
That would be Chris Evans, because Thor is just no.
I like Thor.
Anyway, moving
right along. So here's my problem with this. We've got three storylines, right?
Yeah.
We've got the boys are tying and untying a knot. Candace is trying to open a safe. Mm-hmm. And then you got Doof's storyline. And neither, A and B, neither of them are any good. I mean, they're kind of boring.
Yeah, they're not.
They're not terrible. I mean, it's the Gordian knot. It's not a roller coaster, you know. It's kind of novel, but I mean, honestly, it's like, are they trying to educate me as to what a Gordian knot is? Because maybe I didn't know previously. Yeah.
I mean, now I do know. Buford has a huge thing with Gorts, because he likes Gort helmets. So I mean, Gordian knot is right up his alley.
Sure. He had a completely unfactual explanation of what a Gordian knot was.
Well, true. I mean, it's not like Gordon Ramsay showed up or anything.
Non-historical. Gordon Ramsay. All right. Anyway, so the only good thing about the A and B storyline is that they dovetail nicely into the untiable knot song.
Yeah. I
mean, it's a catchy song, and it blends in with Candace's song. Well, Candace doesn't have a song, but it blends into Candace's predicament, and she's singing along. And it's like, well, this is nice. I like this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the song is great.
It saves the episode, to be honest.
Yeah. It saves it from being a one.
Maniacal laughter.
That's right.
There's just a few minutes left for Doof's storyline between A and B, but it's a good storyline. And
yeah, the Doof plot here is great.
I like it. It made me laugh. You know, and destroying the Innator causes the untieable knot to disappear.
No. You can't just skirt the issue there. It doesn't cause the untieable knot to disappear. It causes Candace to eat all the licorice.
She says, and now I will make this licorice disappear. And it did.
Yes. Yes, it did.
My point is they're returning back to form. It's like season one, you know, it's like all the time you'd have the two storylines. One would be building the invention. One would be destroying the Innator and inadvertently causing the invention to disappear. And it's just funny because Mom comes out and says, "What am I here to see?" And she's like, "I ate it."
ate it? Yes.
Yeah.
It's – I hate to say it, but they're repeating themselves.
Are they? What did she eat an Innator before? Yes,
she has eaten the thing before, but this also
Yeah.
Don't scoff at that. I didn't mean it that way.
She spit the big one?
No. We don't know how big. Never mind.
Well, you know, this whole Candace storyline is sort of phallic anyway.
Oh, Lord.
You know, we've got hot dogs. It's like bouncing on people's heads. We've got chewed pencils. We've got dueling giraffe necks.
No.
Yeah, Jeremy's neck and Candace's neck were identical in the end of this episode, just giraffe necks. And I, quite honestly, I see this as being wrong for children's programming. It's just phallic. Very phallic. It's hard to hide.
And well, it I'm is Disney, and I mean, you know, 30 or 40. Yeah, well, it is Disney, and 30 or 40 years ago, they did have a phallic castle on a DVD cover or a VHS cover.
A Little Mermaid.
You know, it isn't like they haven't been unphallic before.
That castle was very happy to see me.
What would you rate Not My Problem?
You know, I'm going to give it a 3 for 3 separate storylines without enough to do in any of them. But they all came together in the end, and we got a good song out of it.
We got a good song out of it, and Doof's plot is easily the best one. It still gets a 2.5 from me.
Okay.
Hey, at least it wasn't a 1.
Like I said, the song sold it for me.
Gave it I don't know.
Maniacal laughter.
Yes. Maniacal laughter. Just laugh. You don't have to say you don't have to describe what you're doing.
I can't do it as well as Tim Curry, so I'm not going to try. Have we had Mark Hamill on this on the show?
In Phineas and Ferb?
Yeah, not this show. Oh God, no, no. We'd never pull that off. But I'm saying in Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't think so.
Because that would be awesome.
Yeah, but who would he play though? That's the what character would they have come up with for him?
Something Joker-esque.
Yeah, if you want something Joker, just watch Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah. Did you see he's playing Skeletor
in the yes, I did. Sounds just like the Joker.
He's not Oppenheimer, but at the same time, I kind of dig it.
Yes. So I'm searching the wiki, and no. Hamill was never in Phineas and Ferb.
If he did pop up, he'd probably just be his own voice, and that would be enough.
Yeah, but so if you search a Wikipedia page and not even a reference comes up, then especially a specific Wikipedia page, then he wasn't in it.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just saying. It would be cool.
Yep.
It was good getting down around town with my main man, Phineas and Ferb.
I think those translation sideburns are really working for you, Meep.
Rock and roll.
Meep.
Later, Meep.
Hi, Phineas. Whatcha doing?
Oh, you missed it. We were just talking to Meep on the Galactic Web.
What is that flashing on your screen?
I don't know. Let's open it up, Ferb.
Hi, my name is Morg. Have you ever wished that you could pop off to another planet on the other side of the galaxy for a quick visit? Well, now you can!
With Mindshare Vacations! You and your friends can trade places with me and my friends for the interplanetary vacation of a lifetime!
That sounds like fun!
Imagine relaxing on a hot rock by the pools and then surrounded by beautiful noobs! Or splurge through the tube worm forest of put whistle foom! Woohoo! Here's how it works. Your mind comes to lodge in his head, and his mind goes to stay in yours. Only your mind makes the trip. All you have to do is build this highly sophisticated device and be on your way to pray a mindshare vacation of a lifetime.
Ferb, I think I know what we're going to do today.
It sounded like he almost said we were on our way to Perry.
Hey, where is Perry?
Up next is Mindshare, which I thought was going to be a sequel to Mind Flip with Baljeet and Buford doing, you know, Baljeet's like, Mind Flip! And then it was whatever the hell this is.
I thought that was the time warp.
I guess. I don't know. So Mindshare... The gang switches bodies with alien tourists only to realize they were actually duped by criminals. Stranded in the alien prison, meanwhile, Doofenshmirtz tries to impress a girl named Rosie by making special boots that would make him the perfect square dancer.
Nice.
Johnny Ringo and Schmertz? Really?
Johnny Ringo Schmertz.
Really? I mean, you know, if you're going to be cool, at least be Lennon and Schmertz. Lennon and Schmertz.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because that's the guy that took over for Stalin, I think.
No. Not that. No.
Could have been George Harrison Schmertz.
No, that wouldn't work.
No?
So this one, I could do without the A-plot completely. I get it. It's a huge reference to one of my favorite films, Shawshank Redemption. Mm-hmm. But the lead criminal, Morg, I hate it. It's not often I hate a voice.
Didn't like it. Yeah.
No. Like, I'd rather listen to Fran Drescher than listen to Morg ever again.
You know what would have been perfect? Oh, crap. I forgot his name. Iago. You know who plays Iago?
Gilbert Gottfried. Yes.
Can you imagine Gilbert Gottfried voicing over? That would be. Yeah. Would have been amazing. They would have gotten a 5 easily.
Yeah. And for me, it's probably going to get a 1 or a 0.5 or something, because I just didn't.
You know, this episode had my new favorite word.
Okay.
Hooskow.
Oh, but Hooskow has been around for a while.
Not sure what a Hooskow is. I just like the word. Intergalactic Hooskow.
Yeah.
I like that Perry is going to be Doof's wingman.
You know, that worked. Like, yeah, I said, the Doof plot was really, really cool.
There's no innator. He's not trying to destroy his brother. He's not trying to take over the tri-state area. He's just trying to dance to impress a girl.
Yeah.
Again, not evil, you know, and Perry's like, I'm done with it. You know, yeah. He didn't even get trapped this episode.
Nope.
He's just like, I'm down with it. It's funny because he's like, go stand over there with the other wingman. It's like Top Gun over there.
So they. This is Disney.
All right.
And I love this guy for the one voice that I know that he does.
Okay.
And it's not about him performing as the character. But this is...
Are we back to Morg?
No. This is Mother Flippin', Mother Furbin', Walt Disney Company. You mean to tell me you could not give Morgan Freeman a dollar to come in and voice Red? Seriously? So, who voices Red in this is Norm, John Vianner. Or John Viner, however. Yeah. I'm sorry, John.
He was close enough to Morgan Freeman to not get sued.
He was close enough where I almost didn't. I knew it wasn't Morgan Freeman, but it was. But I wasn't sure which actor was doing the voice for it.
Right.
And now that I look at it on the Wikipedia, on the Phineas and Ferb Wiki, I'm like, okay, I kind of okay. It's okay. It's not, you know, it's not a bad thing. I think it's actually cool that it's Norm doing Red. I think that's cool. But at the same time, come on, Disney. You guys bought Marvel. You bought Fox. You could give Morgan Freeman whatever he charges, whatever his rate is, for a 5-minute voice session.
They could call him on Cameo and say, we want you to say these 3 voice lines for us.
I can just see Kathleen Kennedy calling up Morgan Freeman on Cameo. God.
You know who's on Cameo now?
Everybody.
No. Doofenshmirtz. Cameo. I was tempted to commission him for something. If I could settle on one thing, I'd do it, pull the trigger on that one. But I just thought it was funny.
Hey, I'll write something up for him to say. Yeah. No, seriously, if you're willing to pay for it, because I'm broke, I'll write something up for him to say for the show, because it's probably easier to pay him to do the line than it is to get an interview with him. I don't mean that disrespectfully, people. You know, just
I'm sure he's amazing, he's just strapped for time, you know.
Yeah, he's very, very busy.
I'm wondering how much that would cost. We'll look into it.
Yeah, we will.
All right, so I didn't even notice that this was a Shawshank, you know, thing until I heard Morgan Freeman, and then I'm like, "Is this supposed to be Shawshank?" And then it occurred to me, like, "Oh my god!" Especially when they had to crawl through the sewer to get out.
As soon as I heard 500 yards is the length of 5 football fields, or 11 baseball. I'm like, as soon as I saw the tunnel and as soon as I heard the voice, I'm like, yep, this is Shawshank.
Exactly. So I'm not sure if I've ever seen Shawshank all the way through.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. But I did see the resemblance here. So I was like, oh, I see what they're going for. I just like that when they call Candace, they're like, Candace, we need your help. We've been teleported to across the universe. And she's like, yeah, it's been a long summer, kid. What do you need?
Yeah, exactly. He's like, you believe that? And I'm with Candace. Like, yeah, we get all the exposition. We understand.
I've seen Stranger Things.
Yeah, I'm in on the know here.
Right. I like how Candace shows up and the whole square band just follows her lead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just following her, literally following her home. You know, they're completely cool with it. Thought that was funny.
Yes.
And they swap the bodies back. Everything's fine. I don't know. I like the premise. I like the idea that they got swindled.
But they're Phineas and Ferb. They shouldn't get, like, this is essentially a pop-up, even though it was more of an incoming message kind of thing. This is, like, junk mail. This is, you should have a filter for this, Ferb. Like, come on, Ferb, stop staring at Vanessa and do your damn job.
He was using his intergalactic web browser to find, you know, leaked pictures of Vanessa's phone.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I didn't like that Doofenshmirtz's date didn't go as planned. I mean, he wasn't hurting anybody. He just had boots that helped him dance, you know, and he was really, things were really working out despite himself, you know?
I kind of did like it because it's like, you know, you find out something about somebody and like that's your breaking point. Like, oh my God, you do more than square dancing? Ooh, I can't date anybody like that. Like, yeah.
I don't see why not. I mean, when Christy and I first got together, she listened to a lot of country, and I listened to a lot of, like, metal.
Yeah.
And we hit it off swimmingly regardless, you know?
Yeah, listening to music is not the same as trying to dance to... music. If you can't dance, you shouldn't dance, and I should know because
he was totally breakdancing. He was doing.
Yeah, he was. That's what I'm saying. Like he was doing because he invented these boots that would do the dancing for him.
Right.
Because he doesn't know how to dance, so he had to make something, and he made it specifically for the
callouts.
The square dance.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden. Some guy comes by with a Master P boombox, and you know Puff Daddy and Biggie Smalls and Tupac, and all of a sudden this rap and rock and roll stuff happens, and the boots just have a mind of their own. He's not even trying to dance; the boots take over for him. So technically, it isn't even his fault because they've become sentient.
Oh, Johnny, isn't it amazing how well we square dance together? Shake your body like it's no fair. Shake your body like it's no fair. Shake your body, shake your body, shake your body, shake your body.
It's the boots. I don't usually have boogie fever, you know. I'm just.
Oh, Johnny, Ringo, and Smurfs. You said you only square danced. Well, I could never go out with someone who would stretch the truth on the internet. Goodbye.
Oh, come on. You don't think that cat really plays the piano, do you?
I'm just saying the guy can't get a break romantically.
Well, no, obviously not. I mean, the best break he had was Sheena Easton, and sadly, her memory got erased.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I would probably give this one a 3 for doof twerking.
I'll give it a 2 for doof doing the square dancing. I was going to give it a 1.5.
He was doing the pelvic thrust. He's just thrusting toward her.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
I liked the fact that things didn't go as planned for Phineas and Ferb. you know, not every day can be a fun roller coaster. You know, sometimes right. you go to prison.
Yeah, but this was I agree, though, for kids, cartoons, really. I agree with you that not everything should go their way.
Yeah.
But like I said a second ago, they essentially got duped into becoming prisoners. Like, it's a huge difference if Candace wants to send them to Camp Smile Away. Like, yeah. that's like, you know, like we talked way back when
Clancy Brown.
Yeah, exactly. Well, again, exactly. Like, you know.
This episode needed more Clancy Brown.
Yes, yes, it did. And this podcast will probably have more Clancy Brown since you've never seen Shawshank, apparently, which you can get on HBO Max or Apple iTunes or...
No interest.
Anyway. all right. Up next and finally today is Primal Perry.
Perry the Platypus meet Platypus Hunter Liam O'Kraken. I found him on an evil consultant website.
Semi-aquatic egg-laying mammals. I can't stand the sight of them. And I'll tell you why. Do you mind?
Nah, you know what? Why don't you do the backstory today?
Back in Australia, I had a good life. But platypus has ruined everything. You see, when I was young...
Oh, does he like his boomerang, does he? Oh, my, look at the cute little platypus.
Hello there, little fella. Hold still.
That's right. Say, muscle lolly.
And I never saw me mum again. It was on that day that I swore revenge on platypuses.
Platypuses?
No, no, I know. It sounds wrong, but it's actually right.
I always thought it was platypi.
That's also acceptable. They're vile creatures, not to be trusted. The only mammal with poisonous ankle barbs.
You have a poisonous ankle barb? How come I never knew that?
But now I'm prepared. I even have my own poisonous ankle barbs. And a little something else up my sleeve. I'd like you to meet the ladies.
When Perry comes face to face with an Australian platypus hunter named Liam, who is set out on destroying him, his unwavering demeanor is threatened and his life is put in danger. He must find a way to defeat this villainous foe, rescue Doofenshmirtz from the error of his ways, and save himself from the hunt. Meanwhile, Baljeet is having an existential problem, or emergency, and finds himself incapable of making decisions, so Phineas and Ferb create an infinite probability generator that will allow Baljeet to make as many choices as he pleases without being affected by the consequences. You should always be affected by the consequences of your choices. I will say, though, that this episode, outside of the whole platypus hunter thing, because I'm just not the...
Craven the hunter.
Yeah, well, that's different. But it reminds me of Steve. And Steve Irwin was not as... as lethal as, at least I don't think he was.
Should that remind you of Steve Irwin? Steve Irwin was kind, gentle, and witty, and loved animals.
Platypus hunter.
Yeah.
Crocodile hunter.
He didn't actually hunt crocodiles.
I know, but it's in the name, dude.
I guess so. Sure.
I don't know. I
was honestly thinking more like Kraven the Hunter. I was like, are they trying to come up with a rogues gallery for Perry? I mean, you know, earlier they had him doing secret agent stuff, and he had a different Canadian bad guy, and now he has an Australian bad guy. They even have a different intro.
There's
a whole new intro to the show. Mm-hmm. Phineas and Ferb weren't even in it in the intro, and it's like, okay, well, they're it's like Snoopy, right? It's like it becomes the Snoopy cartoon, and they're shoving out his human counterparts, and it's just about him and his friends that all look like, you know, different Snoopies. And here we have Phineas and Ferb being kind of shunted aside for a little bit, and here is Perry, who has his own, you know, kind of Kraven the Hunter trying to chase him down.
Yeah. Oh, wow. How is that possible? Okay, then.
All right, what are you doing?
Are you
going to the call?
This episode has a Wolverine connection.
Oh, please tell me.
The person that voices the actress, apparently, that voices Liam. She voiced the mother of Liam. Okay.
Liam.
No, I know that. Well, then they...
Liam's mom had one line.
Oh, Jesse Spencer was the voice of Liam. But Liam's mom, yeah. So Liam's mom is the wife of Hugh Jackman.
Oh, really? No way.
That's what the wiki says.
That is funny.
Yep.
I could have an hour-long conversation with her just asking her questions about Hugh Jackman.
Yep.
Which would not be fair to her at all. I'd be like, how are you? Okay, I don't want to talk about you. I want to talk about Wolverine now. But, the platypus hunter, Liam McCracken. McCracken sounds very Scottish. It doesn't sound Australian to me.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Yeah, Liam McCracken, platypus hunter.
Yeah.
This was years before, you know, the Suicide Squad movie, you know, came along and gave us an Australian Captain Boomerang.
But Captain Boomerang had been around way before that, though.
Yeah, but was he expressly Australian? I'm not sure.
Yes.
Was he? Okay.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
the reason why I remember that is because he was in Justice League Unlimited from 2001
to
2006. So, yeah.
Was not familiar. But Disney doesn't own DC. So I'm surprised they didn't get a nice cease and desist letter in the mail.
Again, I think they're going for more of the Crocodile Hunter angle than Captain Boomerang.
You got an Australian guy that's got a trench coat full of boomerangs.
This here is Nancy, Barbara, Jill, Lauren.
In all fairness, Perry the Platypus, there was nothing in his profile about, you know, naming his boomerangs. And even I find that a little creepy.
Scheherazade.
Okay, then, fine. You're going Crocodile Dundee. How about that? How about Mick Dundee? There you go.
All right. Well, that's not a knife. Yeah.
This is a knife. That's not a boomerang. This is a boomerang.
That's a boomerang.
Yeah. Okay, so Captain Boomerang, George Digger Harkness, debuted in The Flash number 117, December 1960. So, fuck Suicide Squad. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That's funny. Digger Dundee.
Okay, secretly, according to his fictional character biography, secretly the illegitimate son of an American soldier and an Australian woman. So, yes, he is Australian.
There you go.
He's Aussie.
Totally Australian.
Yeah.
Aussie.
Yes, Aussie.
He likes a blooming onion.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Oi, oi, oi. Sorry.
So it's did you read...
Australian for beer.
He does not read. Did you read The Most Dangerous Game?
No.
Okay. So basically it's a story about a guy who hunts people because he's hunted all the other animals on Earth, but he wants to hunt the most dangerous game.
Yeah, I've seen those plots before, and I know that it comes from that book, but...
Yeah,
so that's essentially what this is. Because apparently his hatred for semi-aquatic mammals, because his mom just stopped to pet one, and then that's not the platypus's fault. That's your bad mother's fault.
Well, the mother never even went to go find him. I mean, I get it. The pram rolled down the hill, but you gotta chase it or try to find it or something, right?
Apparently, the platypus was more important than her own child.
I don't get it.
I'm not even an actual parent of actual children. I mean, I have a cat, but that it's a little different. Although she is about as demanding as a 2-year-old.
Wah, wah. She didn't hear you, huh?
No. Are you kidding me? Only time that cat hears me is when I'm digging into her food to feed her.
I popped the top on the can and it's like, what was that?
Yeah.
I heard it.
Yes.
So basically we have the most dangerous game, except you're handcuffed to a random platypus.
Yeah. Not exactly my favorite A story.
Train time. I like the cliff faller.
Yeah, that was funny.
It's not a cliffhanger. It's a cliff faller because you're falling.
Yeah, it's falling rather dramatically.
And you've seen Predator, right?
Long ass time ago.
Okay, so the trap making music was totally Predator.
Yeah,
it's like they've got this Predator trap building montage, and you expect Arnold Schwarzenegger to be covered in mud and tying vines to trees.
Yeah. No.
It was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah.
Love the Predator. And they end it with this fantastic Army of Darkness reference.
Never seen it, so...
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, Bruce Campbell, right? He's getting himself geared up for battle. And he's missing an arm, right? Or missing a hand. So he straps a shotgun on his arm, ties it tight. He looks down and says, "Groovy."
Lord.
Actually, no, I'm wrong. That wasn't the shotgun. I think it was the chainsaw. He's got a chainsaw arm.
You can't even figure out what the hell Bruce Campbell has in a movie you've seen years ago.
Oh, I've seen it dozens of times, though. But he interchanges. It depends on what he needs for a hand.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so...
Oh, so he's essentially Trapjaw.
In a cool way, yes. Yeah. he ties on his chainsaw and says, "Groovy." That's, yeah, I can't believe you've never seen it.
I'm not a horror movie person.
It's not horror.
Yes, it is.
Sure, there's zombies in it, and there's lots
I'm
of...
I'm not
horror.
A zombie person. I'm
but not it's
a
not horror.
I don't
it's
care.
It's comedy. Comedy. You would enjoy it.
I could do without. I will never watch anything with zombies.
What?
If I ever watch anything with zombies, it's because I have to watch it for a podcast like this. But I do not do zombies.
We're going to have to do a Geekcast episode about the Evil Dead trilogy.
No, we're not. Yeah,
totally going to do it.
You can do that with somebody else or you can do it by yourself, but it ain't going to be me.
Why are you fighting me on this? Just watch the damn movie.
No. Not watching the damn... That's like me trying to tell you to watch all four seasons of Knight Rider. You know you'll never do it.
I would watch Knight Rider.
Uh-huh, sure you would.
I would. I like Knight Rider.
Mm-hmm. Sure you do.
I'm not fanatical about it like some people I know, but I enjoy it. I like the premise. Turbo Boost is something that I always wanted in a car.
Well, yeah, we all did.
Who doesn't? Yeah.
Hell, that's something I wanted on my Knight Rider big wheel back in the 80s.
I know. I mean, all you really had to do is strap a couple of rockets to the back, and you'd be...
Exactly.
You could even make the sound effect.
Yeah. What are you going to give Primal Perry unless you have more notes for this episode?
I had one more note here. I liked the way that Baljeet formed a mob and turned on Buford.
That is the best comeuppance he's had so far. And that's honestly, right. That
this
to
what
me
comeuppance
is the,
looks like.
Yeah, that to me is the best part of this entire episode. Even the Baljeet song.
What about Buford? Indeed, what about Buford? What has he ever done for us? You mean to us? Yeah, he can get his own juice. Yeah! The jerk!
Oh, hello, boys. Are we having a party, Baljeet? And Baljeet, and... Wait a moment. If he's Baljeet, then you must be...
Baljeet!
Well, all right, then. Carry on.
So, we all agree. No juice for Buford.
Yeah, no juice for Buford. Come on!
He is always giving us a hard time.
But he says he is our friend.
Would a friend steal your bike?
To be fair, he stole everyone's bike.
And what about the time he drank all the water out of our fish tank?
Something's going on over there. The Baljeets seem to be gathering.
Well, I don't like the looks of that. Gatherings have a habit of turning into mobs.
And mobs rarely make good decisions.
Oh, come on. Couldn't a gathering just as easily turn into a shindig or a hootenanny?
Under normal circumstances, I'd say yes. But this one seems to have a storming of the Bastille sort of vibe.
See, they're playing music. It is a hootenanny.
Decisions are much easier when made en masse. No one accountable, no fear of loss. Because there's more of us, you will obey. You do not have a choice, do what we say. It's so only mob mentality. You do not understand it fully. Put together 30 nerds and you can make a giant pulley. Buford is in trouble now. See the sweat upon his brow. Our numbers are superior. Surrender we will not allow. Buford is in trouble now. See the sweat upon his brow. Our numbers are superior. Surrender we will not allow. Buford is in trouble now. See the sweat upon his brow. Our numbers are superior.
So that's what comeuppance looks like.
I finally like Baljeet singing, at least with this one song.
It was a good song.
It was a good song.
I forgot to mention that. I like the song. I like the fact that Strawberry gets hit by a truck. Because, number one, they predicted it. And yeah. Number two, it was, he's like, hey, guys, come on out in the street.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Good thing it was the clone and not actually Baljeet.
Well, I'm not sure, because in the end, you've got the Baljeet with a broken arm leading everybody.
Oh, okay, well then.
So maybe it was the original. Can't be sure.
Please, no spiders, thank you. No spiders, man. Come on now.
Spider-Man.
We can't have a clone saga in everything.
I was going to say, because the Captain Boomerang is not a Spider-Man villain. He's a Flash villain, I think.
I just told you that like 20 minutes ago.
I know. It was just bring up Spider-Man. I don't know. You got spiders in your house. You got trains and spiders.
Talking about clones. What is the first thing you think about when somebody mentions clones to you? 1995's Judge Dredd?
Actually, Orphan Black.
Never saw it.
Oh, it's a good show. Yeah, she does. What's her name? Daslani. She does like 8 or 9 different characters flawlessly. It's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, go watch it. It's sci-fi. You're allowed to watch it. There's no zombies.
Yeah, I'm not that big on sci-fi either, unless it's unless they have laser swords. I mean,
I had to think about it for a second. No, I don't think there are laser swords. It's a good show, though. She's a clone, and she keeps meeting new clones of herself. And over the course of like 6 or 7 seasons, I think she kind of narrows down into why. And the whole time, it turns out that there's a plague that's causing them to die. So they have to not only figure out who created them, but also how to solve this plague.
Interesting.
And each clone has a completely different personality. One of them is a man, or a transgender man.
Okay.
It's
there you go.
It's amazing how well she pulls off all these different characters.
Awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, not to get into. I mean, when I think of clones, of course, I'm thinking Star Wars, the Clone Wars.
Okay. But, thank you for saying the Clone Wars versus that crappy sequel.
What? A crappy
Attack of
the Clones.
Ugh.
All right, sure.
I prefer Phantom Menace over Attack of the Borings.
Phantom Menace should have never happened.
Yes, it should have.
Viewing of the series, you skip the first episode. Episode one, you skip it entirely because it doesn't serve any purpose.
Oh yes, it does. It serves to show you how they transformed this innocent little boy into this evil dictator.
He's not the dictator. He's kind of a victim of circumstance at that point.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Tell that to all the women and children he murders in episode 3.
I'm a victim of circumstance.
That's or episode 2. Hey. Oh. Wow. Wow.
They don't count because they kidnapped his mom. They kind of deserve death, Anyway.
All sad people's lives matter.
Don't go there. Sad people lives matter.
You started this.
So personally, I don't think of sad people as... I guess that's very Empire of me, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Alien species aren't real people. I mean, that's kind of wrong. That's a backwards form of thinking. But yeah, they kind of had it coming a little bit. Tortured his mom, man.
Okay.
I don't think I would have done anything different.
The male sand people tortured his mom. The women and children, don't think so.
Honestly, I would have left them alive just so that they could tell the tales of how I murdered everyone in the village, except, you know, left a few people alive to spread the myth. We're getting way off topic here, but there's a comic I saw where it uses screenshots from the A New Hope. Mm-hmm. And you got the two sand people, and they're kind of like picking around at the land speeder. And the first one says, "Come on, man, we got to get out of here, or the Anakin is going to show up and kill us." And the other guy's like, "That's just a myth. You don't really believe that, do you?" And he's like, "The Anakin killed off an entire village of men, women, and children. You know, he's a monster." And the other one's like, "Nah, that's just a fairy tale. They tell little kids to make them go to sleep." And then they have that shot of Obi-Wan, kind of waving his arms, making the noise. And the first one goes, "Holy crap, it's the Anakin. It's true. Run." and they run away. I thought that was hilarious.
See, that's much better than Primal Perry.
Have we rated Primal Perry?
I don't know, have we?
You know, I honestly was going to give it a 5 for Groovy.
Really?
I really like the Predator montage. I really like anything Evil Dead related. I liked the... I liked Captain Boomerang, honestly. He named all of his boomerangs. He had a boomerang that was so big it took off the top of a mountain.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah.
And they got a Baljeet song on it. Actually, two Baljeet songs. You got a Baljeet song with Devo in it, and you get a Baljeet song where he's beating the crap out of Buford.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think there's a lot going for this episode. Didn't like it.
I can't go down this road with you. It's not.
It's a double episode. They always get 5s. Come on.
No.
Recent episodes have proven that false. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. No. The only way this double episode could have gotten a 5 is if Vanessa showed up and kicked his ass to save her dad. That's the only way. Like, really, docents? Really, garden docents? Ugh, little old lady, garden docents. Stay out the grass.
It's a new word. I have never heard that before.
You've never heard of the word docent? Really?
Uh-huh.
It's a museum thing. It's a garden variety thing. It's a thing.
It's a thing about gardens.
Right. Yeah, and it's not new. There are docents for everything.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Docents.
For me.
I don't know what the heck a docent is.
The only reason why I'm giving this a 2.5 is because Baljeet's songs, because those were awesome.
2.5?
2.5.
Oh my gosh. That's rough, man. I said, kick it in the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So
I must have enjoyed it more than you did. I mean, yeah, but then again, you've never seen Army of the Darkness, so.
No, because.
I pity you a little bit.
I don't know. You shouldn't, because I don't need. I just don't.
You like Three Stooges? You like three? You like those?
Yeah, no.
Stooges references in Army of Darkness?
Three Stooges reference. How would I know if there are Three Stooges references in Army of Darkness when I've never seen it?
So I'm saying, if you like Three Stooges, check it out.
No.
Got a couple Three Stooges references in there.
I would rather just watch the Three Stooges.
Well, you like Sam Raimi.
Not really.
Oh, Sam Raimi.
I mean,
not everything he does is awesome, but a lot of what he's done is awesome. So.
He kind of ruined Spider-Man, so there is that.
That wasn't his fault. That was the studio. They wanted to shove too many villains in there. He had great ideas for the third movie. And, you know, Sony came in and said, this is what we want. Anyway.
We are going to take a quick break and come back and close the show after this.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba-weep, Grana. Weep, Ninny-bong.
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content, till all are one.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang!
DeCian, the superhero webcomic. DeCian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. For action, comedy, mayhem, and more, read it now at DeCian.com. DASIEN.com.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week, we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news,
play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
12 years in the making. After 6 top 100 countdowns, the GeekCast Radio Network, along with 33 participants, are launching our top 100 Transformers characters countdown. August 8th, 2021. 35 years after Transformers the movie was released. Don't be the only con left out of this one, folks. Because, really, whether you're a Predacon or a Decepticon, you want to be at the top. Right, Megatron?
Yes.
Tune in to GeekCast Radio Network's Top 100 Transformers Characters Countdown from August 8th through September 17th, 2021. 6 parts, 6 Constructicons. Learn who will fall and where they will fall, because one always falls. Transform and transcend here with us on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Why nobody love Waspinator?
I, Starscream, have taken over Transformers Prime Time. Call me Lord.
No, Starscream, we will not call you Lord, but we will announce that the GCRN is bringing everyone Transformers Prime Time. That's right, before we get into the TFG1 redone, we enter the Prime Universe. Join your hosts, TFG1 Mike, Steve Megatron, Optimus Solo, and Pecan Court Michael, as they cover all 65 episodes of Transformers Prime, the comics, the toys, and more. We will also have a commentary on Predacons Rising, interviews with writers, voice actors, and more. All in the latest Transformers review podcast from the GeekCast Radio Network. You can find TF Primetime on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. And remember,
one shall stand and one shall fall.
All right, folks, we are back, and we have severely diverged on this road that we are going down for Phineas and Ferb, at least for this episode, anyway.
We can edit all that out.
No, not really. You kidding me? It's 90 degrees. I'm not editing this.
It'll be nicer tomorrow.
Right.
Wake up early.
It'll actually be hotter tomorrow. Well, okay. All right. 7 a.m. Central Time. Let's start recording. If you want to record in the morning, I can easily do that. That's great. Anyway, we are going to get the heck out of here. Thank you for joining us here on Palka. There are several ways to get in contact with us, to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Shoot us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. I am at TFG1Mike. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio. What is your Twitter?
PeconCTMichael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka. I wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on the next 2 episodes of Phineas and Ferb, which include these 4 cartoons: La Candice Cabra, Happy Birthday, Isabella, Great balls of water. Hello, Jerry. And where's Pinky? For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Maniacal laughter.
Maniacal laughter.
Kid.
Yes.
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film, Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth and Beyond the Night only on Geekcast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Kit.
Yes, Michael.
Just keep driving.
But wait, there's more!
We hope you enjoyed... Oh, shit. Now I really do have to edit this. Fuck.
Episode 52!
52?
I don't know. Which one did you...
Oh, this is 90.
I know, but what did you write down on your outro? Your outro is severely stunted.
Yes, it is, actually.
Aren't you a little young to be a podcaster?
No, I'm not.
Aren't you a little old to be watching this cartoon show?
Yes, I am. It's good to see the nation's senior citizens taking an interest in cartooning.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
There's not really any more. That's about it.
Unless you'd like to join us all for some chocolate triple layer cake.
Yay!